You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the one, the only Remsa Republic podcast, broadcasting to you from coast to coast from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia. Welcome back. You know, I've been online the past couple days, and I keep seeing how you guys are interacting with everything, and I'm just really, really honored that you guys are taking a part of your day to tuning to the program. And this twice a week format is really, really working out. Speaking of that, you know, one of my favorite podcasts to tune into is the Lions of Liberty, and recently, and this is going to be a little bit after that episode came out, but Mark went ahead and interviewed Jed Wise, former Libertarian vice presidential candidate in 2016. I mean, that interview just really exposed a lot of the, you know, inside party fighting. You know, it was nothing really new, but it just left a really bad taste in my mouth, and I knew some of the people that were involved in that campaign, and it's just... You know, it makes me glad that it's over. It's making me kind of glad that I'm staying out of party politics for a while. But, you know, if you were a new listener listening into that, you probably have a really bad opinion of the Libertarian Party. And I think all parties have problems. But with this one, I think it was a little bit too harsh. But Jed Wise, at the end of it, I mean, he was not going after party members. He was not going after the entire party. He wants to make things better. But there are other people that are actively trying to make things better. You know, I keep bringing in candidates from across the country and activists that are actually working in terms of partisan politics to improve third-party viability. And one of those people is coming from one of the most active LP states in the country. You know him from Libertarian Leadership and everything else. He's the activist of activists. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Pickens. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Remz. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. So whenever I hear about anything amazing going on in terms of Libertarian candidates actually achieving something, people point directly to what you're doing in Washington State. And the one thing I keep hearing over and over again is the fact that you're trying to make a Libertarian city. I mean, man, what's going on up there in Washington that you guys know that the rest of us just don't have a real clue on right now?
This is a thing, man. You know, all the infighting that's going on around the country, it's all just pretty much BS. We just ignore it. We keep doing what we have to do, recruiting candidates, recruiting activists, right? Trying to fill these slots up. We've got elections or offices opening up for election all across the state and the country. This is what we should be focused on, man. We've got a serious problem in our country right now at all levels of government, and we need to be focused on that. Yeah, with the Gary Johnson campaign and some things there, Ron Nielsen and their crew, like, we know never to trust them again, right? We know this. However, at the same time, to constantly bring it up is not really going to help us. We just know that, hey, if they try to start getting back in using Our America Initiative or whatever else, we just got to stop it. We got to make sure that these people are not in leadership positions. And we focus on the people who are being active, showing up their city council meetings, running for office, you know, organizing events. These are the people who we should be focused on, the ones that are taking positive actions to advance liberty, regardless if they're Libertarian Party members or not.
Exactly, exactly. And you're absolutely right. You guys seem to really be ignoring all of the, you know, all the crazy nonsense we keep seeing online. But I mean, that's the great thing about it, because you have several candidates like Paul Addis who have run for office multiple times. Each time mm-hmm. they run, they go ahead and they gain something beneficial out of it. And you guys are one of the few states that have more than one Libertarian candidate actually in either a nonpartisan or partisan office. I mean, what's the key that you guys are doing right now that's leading to your success?
We have 9 elected Libertarians at the local level. Now, one thing we do that a lot of states are starting to adopt is that to get our support, to get my support, the candidate has to agree to run for a minimum of 3 times. The first time you go out and run for office, it's a foundation building exercise, right? You're building your donor base, your volunteer base. You're learning the issues. You're learning how to speak in public. You're learning how to do radio interviews or newspaper interviews. You're getting your website set up, right? It's building that solid foundation for future success. I took a lot of information from UKIP, United Kingdom Independence Party, and specifically Nigel Farage, who is libertarian leaning. I don't agree with everything that he stands for, but they started their party in 1993. It took them 17 years to get the Brexit vote going. In 2014, UKIP actually gained a majority of seats in the European Parliament. So how were they able to do it in such a short amount of time? Where the Libertarian Party, you know, we've been around since 1971, and we haven't won any of these major races like UKIP is doing in the United Kingdom. Well, I looked at their playbook, man. I looked at what they were doing, and they were running candidates over and over and over again. Because guess what? When they run multiple times, they're going to become a better speaker. They're going to build more relationships in the community, right? They're going to build this foundation they need for success. So let's take Nigel Farage, for example. He's ran for office 12 times, but he's only won four of those races. Running for office 12 times, but only won four of those races. Now that tells me, like, okay, we need to run more and more consistently and build up our networks, right? The Democrats started in 1824, the Republicans, 1854. These guys have over 100 years of, you know, head start on us. So we have to follow that lead, run over and over and over again until we win. Another example, Susan Marie Weber, she ran for office in Palm Desert City Council. She ran four times. On her fourth run, she won her election. She's on the executive committee for the Libertarian Party of California. And there's multiple other examples around that, around the country of that. However, they're few and far between. We're looking to make it the norm. Right. In 2012 in Washington State, we only had Gary Johnson on the ballot. In 2014, we recruited 12 candidates to run for state rep. In 2015, we had 16 candidates run for local office. Five of those won. This last year, we had 34 candidates run for office as libertarians. This year, 2017, we'll probably have over 50 candidates running for local office with many wins. Because these local offices, they're much easier to win. We got a couple races where the candidates only need about 300 votes and they can get an office, right? So focusing on these smaller races, and you brought up Libertarian City, right? So we have Don Myers, who won his election in 2015 to Moses Lake City Council. In 2018, if he decides to run for state representative as a libertarian, he'll have 3 years experience as a sitting city council member. So his chances of winning are going to be much greater. Not only that, but they've recruited three other candidates to run for city council this year. And if they win, we now have a libertarian majority. We now have a majority on a city council.
That's absolutely remarkable. And it's just because they stayed committed. They stayed with the path and they ran over and over and over again, improving every time.
Correct. And that's what we have to look at it like. If we lose an election, we really didn't lose. We gained, because all the experience that that candidate gets, and not just that, but their support team, the experience that they get. Like, I've never ran for office yet. However, I will. But I've been involved in four election seasons so far, and this is going to be the fifth. And I'm gaining a ton of experience as a support person. And the support people are just as important as the candidates, right? Support people are just as important as the candidates. So when I do run for office, or as I continue to help other candidates like Larry Sharpe's campaign or Chris Rockhold's campaign, or one of these other numerous candidates that we have around the country, we're going to become even more successful because of that. And it's because we're also sharing and training and teaching. Now we have a revolutionary online training system called the Libertarian Leadership Academy. We have Larry Sharpe's How to Build a Campaign Team course, my foundational leadership course, where libertarians can now get trained and get the education they need. Where before, when we ran for office, you know, the candidates didn't have very much training, didn't have very much experience. Same with the activists and the advocates. So they go out there not really knowing what to do and just making a lot of mistakes, which is okay. But now we have the ability to train people beforehand so they don't make those mistakes. So they can prep with their campaign team before a debate. So we can have any Aleppo moment in private before we go on TV, right? That's what we need, professional campaigns.
Perfect.
And we're seeing that right now. So I'm really excited at the growth. that we're having.
Definitely. That's outstanding. Sir, we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. The conversation continues right back after this.
The voice of the Liberty Generation, Remzo W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remzo Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at JohnnyRocketLaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at
you. Yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with like tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to visit LibertarianWingMedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the program. We have Michael Pickens from Libertarian Leadership. Sir, so I've got one question. I know plenty of people here in Virginia and, you know, back in Alabama where I was a couple years ago, and they want to run for office. And the most common question I hear when they're just, you know, thinking about this idea is, you know, where do I start? Where do I start? Do I have to start an exploratory committee? Do I need to, you know, worry about whether or not ballot access is a thing? I mean, what's the first thing people should look at when they're asking that question, should I get involved? Because for a lot of libertarian candidates, I mean, some of them come in kind of last minute, like we had with a few candidates here in Virginia. Some of them have been thinking about this for months to years. I mean, where's that first step they need to take to decide whether or not they actually want to run for office?
So the first step, my first step, is to understand their why and how powerful it is. Like, I've got a 10-year-old son, I've got family, I've got friends that I care about dearly, and seeing the direction that our country's headed and how important it is for us to take action now. So that's the first thing. It's our level of commitment, right? If you're thinking about running for office and you're not willing to take some courses or read some books or gain some experience, stretch your comfort zone, learn new skills, don't do it. Don't even waste your time, right? We have to become better people first, and then that's going to help our campaigns, our success. We have to become better leaders to help educate other people out in the community. The only way we're going to win elections is if we can go out and become better people and shake more hands and influence more people in the community. That's the only way. So the first step is really the commitment level. Like, no matter what, we're going to keep running. We're going to keep pushing until we win. And when we do win, we're going to continue to help other people win, right? We have a lot of work to do in front of us, and we need to be committed to making it happen, whether it's in the Republican Party or the Libertarian Party or the Democrat Party. I was just down in Mississippi, and I met a candidate who's running as a Democrat. However, his whole platform is libertarian. And it was just awesome hearing him talk, right? Because he was using the situation in his city to their advantage. And when he gets elected as a Democrat, and he's currently the front runner, he's going to switch. He's going to switch parties and say, hey, remember all the good things that I was talking about that you voted for me on? Yeah, this is all libertarianism. This is all the Libertarian Party. This is what we stand for. So it's pretty exciting to see this happening around the country. And his name's Homer Ryland. He's running for mayor. So it's just exciting to see this, right?
Exactly. What are some of the common pitfalls you see, though, especially for first-time candidates? Because something I typically see is, you know, they don't take advantage of the free stuff before them. They don't take advantage of social media. They don't take advantage of the, you know, typically the free online information that's out there. What are some easy things that people can avoid when they're running first time?
Oh, so the mistake that a lot of people make is they'll underestimate the effort that needs to go into the election. Right. So they don't do a proper analysis beforehand. So if it's a smaller city council race where you need, let's say, 1500 votes, that's what Don Myers needed. He went out there almost every day and knocked on doors and went to community meetings for a couple hours a day. And he was able to shake enough hands to do it. Spent about $1,000 on his campaign. Right. The smaller races are easier to win. You need less resources and less manpower. However, the bigger races, you know, like a state rep race, candidates not willing to go door to door, not willing to recruit people, right? We have to be willing to take the actions. Massive action plus persistence equals success.
Gotcha. And kind of on the same note, in terms of first-time candidates, what we have here in Virginia is we have a candidate for governor, Cliff Hira, for the Libertarian Party, who's never run for office before. And he's an incredibly smart guy. And the thing that really, you know, attracts me to him is that he's a policy guy and he can talk to anybody. And I mean, he can make sense and have a conversation with anyone. And he seems, you know, for the most part, really electable. But I mean, he has a team of people that this is their first major race. And I mean, to run for governor of Virginia, bellwether state, that's incredibly difficult. Do you think a lot of people should start local, or do you think it's okay to jump into races like this? Kind of like Austin Peterson saying, hey, I want to run for president, you know, overnight, something like that.
So I would prefer getting started local. However, we don't always have that choice. So if Cliff doesn't run for governor, does that mean that there's no libertarian on the ballot for governor, which is could be the case? Right. And I definitely believe that we do need candidates representing at all levels of government. However, with that said, his campaign team and himself, they need to do a ton of studying to cut down the learning curve. Right. If they're all new people to campaigning, then, yeah, there's a lot of education that needs to go in it. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. They got to listen to that thing like 10 different times and then start going out in the community and practicing it. Right. It's the research that needs to happen and the education that needs to happen. So the campaign's got to be committed to that. The campaign team has to be committed. So instead of going home after work and spending 4 hours watching TV, you know, drop an hour into the Libertarian Leadership Academy, start going through some trainings, learn some of the skills that are necessary to help the campaign succeed.
Perfect. Sir, we're going to go ahead and hit our final commercial break, so that way we give you a little bit more time towards the end. Folks, the conversation continues. Hang on tight. We'll be right back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemzoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Folks, welcome back to the show. Michael, you know, I think we cover a lot of information, and I'm kind of avoiding certain things because I want people to actually go visit Libertarian Leadership Academy and everything else, so that way they can actually get, you know, everything they need and all their questions answered from you directly and your resources. But, you know, in terms of everything kind of going forward, you know, this is a really rare time in American history. The Republicans have full control of the federal government. Libertarians, they're no longer necessarily the hot topic in terms of electoral news because we're not in, you know, a real general election right now. Do you think things are better or worse for libertarians going forward into this new political climate we're seeing?
I actually think it's better than before.
Why?
And the reason why is that people have more access to information. We have better marketing, way better marketing now than we've ever had before. We have training where we've never had that before. And not only that, we have more candidates that are lining up, preparing to run for office, passionate people, upstanding citizens, if you will, in communities that are getting their name out there and prepping campaigns right now. I just did a campaign conference call last Wednesday on how to get your campaign started. And it was just a conference call, and we posted on Facebook, and I thought that we maybe get 20 to 30 people on the call, maybe. But there was 98 people that showed up, right? And for the Libertarian Party, 98 people to show up for a campaign conference call, you know, is a pretty big deal. And I'm hoping here in the near future, as the months go by and our recruiting efforts continue, that we'll have 200, 300, 400 people on these calls.
That's absolutely remarkable. I remember the days where you're lucky if the person that said they were going to call and even called in to begin with.
Yeah, serious.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, one little hang up I have is that, you know, I was incredibly happy when I saw John Moore out in Nevada in the state legislature down there switch his party affiliation from Republicans to Libertarian. And we've seen people like State Senator Laura Ebke do that and a couple other folks in Utah. But, you know, with the John Moore situation, I think he brought, you know, in terms of, you know, can libertarian candidates actually affect libertarian policy? I think he really screwed the pooch when he voted for a giant corporate gimme out in Nevada.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the day after that happened, I posted a video on it on our Facebook page talking about this. And, you know, we have to hold our elected officials accountable. If Republicans want to switch parties to the Libertarian Party, that's great. Let's make it happen. They just need to vote that way as well. And he didn't do that. And he pissed a lot of libertarians off around the country, pissed a lot of libertarians off in Nevada because he completely just betrayed them, right? He took $50,000 worth of campaign contributions from the LNC and didn't follow it up with voting. Right? Vote for liberty. That's what libertarian candidates have to do. Just because they're running as a libertarian and they get elected and they vote for authoritarian policies, well, there needs to be huge backlash within the Libertarian Party calling for their resignation, which there was, which he did resign, and he did not win his reelection.
Yeah, because the strange thing I'm seeing out here, and I'm in the southern half of Virginia where it's, you know, it's pretty staunchly red. A lot of people out here are upset that maybe their congressman or somebody, you know, they voted for Ryan Care. And it's really kind of strange because the Republicans ran on repeal and replace. And the only people that had the actual, you know, liberty, free market oriented message were the people in the House Freedom Caucus. And for a lot of Republicans, they're really perplexed because they're like, you know, if you're a Republican, shouldn't you be a conservative? And I was talking to somebody about the Libertarian Party specifically, and they're like, you know, what's going to be the check on if, let's say, Libertarian candidates really catch on within the next couple of years? What's going to be the check to make sure they're actually Libertarian, and when they vote, they are actually voting for pro-liberty policies? Because with the Republicans, I mean, the House Freedom Caucus is less than 25 people. A large majority of them are brand new congressmen. So I know that the LNC and the Libertarian Party in Nevada put pressure on more, but is there like a plan in place for when something like that happens?
As far as I know, I don't know if there's a plan in place, right? What do the Republicans do? They encourage bad voting. You know, I can tell you right now that libertarians are a lot different. We're not going to be encouraging that. But I can only look at the local examples that are libertarians elected here in Washington at the local level. Like Don Myers has his support team in Moses Lake, and he's voting no. And he has voted no on every tax increase, every regulation increase. They've been able to legalize chickens in the city. They've been able to legalize cannabis downtown. They've been able to legalize off-road vehicles operating on the streets. You know, they're actually making things happen and pushing things forward. Now, that's at the local level. It's much smaller than the House Freedom Caucus, right, with big congressional races. But we have to hold our guys accountable at the local level if we're ever going to be trusted enough to be elected to Congress.
Exactly. Sir, I know you've got to get going soon, so I kind of want to leave the floor to you. If there's one big message you want our listeners to carry home tonight, what is that?
So the one message that I would say is that to not worry about the fear of losing or the fear of making mistakes or the fear of rejection when we go out and talk to people, right? When we first start going out and talking to people, we may not be the best. We may not know the answers to every issue, but we'll get better and invest in education. Like read the books, read How to Win Friends and Influence People, and then go out there and talk to people and stretch your comfort zone, right? Don't be afraid to make mistakes, because when you make a mistake and you learn from it, it becomes a lesson. And we need more highly educated and experienced libertarian candidates and activists. And that only comes with our own personal education and taking action out in the field. So if you're thinking about running or thinking about helping a campaign, please just go for it.
Sir, if people want to learn more about libertarian leadership, you know, catch up with you online, contact you, how can they do so?
You go to libertarianleadership.org, and specifically the academy is academy.libertarianleadership.org.
Outstanding. Michael Pickens, thank you so much for coming on the program, sir. This was insightful. I know we had to do a re-recording, so I'm grateful that you were able to come back on. And as always, thank you, thank you, thank you. This was such a blast.
Remzo, hey man, anytime. I'm looking forward to our success over the next couple of years, and I'm looking forward to coming back on the show and talking about it. So thank you very much for everything that you're doing.
It's all good, man. Folks, you heard him. Go ahead and check them out at both of those sites. And as always, you know, like my old boss, Matt Kibbe, used to say, government goes to those that show up. And whether or not you're a liberty-minded Republican or you're a libertarian that wants to jump out and actually take the Libertarian Party to new heights, go ahead and do that. But what's one thing you could do real fast? You can go ahead and subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. Check us out at our new network, the Self Defense Radio Network, and maybe our friends over at Auto Radio and Player.fm. And as always, treat yourself, be good to your neighbor, and tune in next week. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?